Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family, to Reign in Love Ministries. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day, even better week. I know I've been blessed this week and just enjoying life and enjoying the family. I actually went to go watch my grandbabies play football today, so it was kind of cute to watch them get out there and play some football. So it just kind of got into the sun, and so it feels good to get out and about and know that the world is still functioning despite what's going on. So, again, family, hope you've all had a blessed and wonderful day. And I know that I have enjoyed my day. I'm praying for you guys. Make sure that we're doing the same for the world, as we know that there are a lot of things going on in this world. So make sure that we are putting the Most High first. I just want to take this time to express some gratitude and say I'm thankful to be here. I'm grateful for this platform. I'm grateful for the listeners. I'm grateful for the Most High and the sacrifice that his son, Yeshua, made to redeem us back to the kingdom. So I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. If you guys got a chance to listen to my spiritual freestyle Fridays on last night, we dealt with the Holy Spirit. Very interesting subject. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully those that listened enjoyed it as well. So again, we're back on the air. We're about to get into Revelation, the 7th chapter. But before I do, let me just say this real quick. I love each and every one of you. If no one has told you before that they love you, please allow me to be the first to say that I love you, okay? All right, so make sure that we are showing love from the Heavenly Father. And just want to take the time out to say that I'm glad that you're back for another Daily Bread message in regards to the doctrine of end things. And we're about to get into Revelation, the 7th chapter. Now, I'm only going to be on for 1 hour tonight. One reason is because Revelation, the 7th chapter, is not really a in-depth, if you will, book. It's pretty straightforward. It talks about the 144,000, and so it's pretty simple. And we know that the 144,000 that was called during the time of the tribulation is referring to the saints, okay? It's referring to the Jews that that changed, that was converted to believe in Christ and Christ's return. They're going to minister at the end. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick prayer, and then after the prayer, actually I'm going to read the scripture of love, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 31 through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. So it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. It is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this life that you've blessed us with, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And most of all, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon the saints, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing, and all that you're about to do. Again, Heavenly Father, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore, for there's none like you in all existence. We pray that your spirit come in and teach your people, dear Heavenly Father, and that all flesh be removed, dear Heavenly Father, and that we interpret the word, dear Heavenly Father, according to your will. And we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and hop right into it again. Revelation, the seventh chapter, is not a very big book. So it's kind of straightforward, because what you begin to notice about Revelation, the seventh chapter, we will see the 144,000 again throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. So tonight we're only going to be on for 1 hour. And so without further ado, we're going to kind of go ahead and hop into it. And so before I do, I want to make sure that we understand that the 144,000 is different from the congregation that was in heaven over in Revelation, the fifth chapter. They're not the same congregation. There's two different bodies there, the believer bodies of believers, which is going to be eventually in heaven before the Lamb, okay? And so Revelation chapter 5, the congregation, the 24 elders, is believed to be the church. This is the church age. Right now, we are in the church age. If you want to be part of the church, if you want to become saved, you can receive salvation right now tonight by simply quoting Romans 10:9-10, which is the plan of salvation, that thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that thou shalt what? Be saved, okay? You can receive salvation. That is how you become a part of the kingdom. We want you to become a part of the kingdom because we don't want you to be lost. We don't want you to be partakers in the wrath of the Lamb when Christ comes back, that latter half of the great tribulation. So don't leave anything to chance. This is your opportunity. You may not live to see another day. And the old man said back in the day, tomorrow is not promised to us. And that is so true. As we see so many things going on in the world, tomorrow is not promised to us, okay? So make sure that we are adhering to Scripture. Make sure that we are becoming partakers in the church, partakers in the word of what Christ has for us, okay? All right, so there are two audiences also in Revelation, the seventh chapter. The two audiences of believers are the 144,000. Okay, which were each from 12,000 chosen from each tribe of Israel. Okay, and the other part of that congregation were the believers that were converted because of the testimony of the 144,000 when they were preaching the gospel during this time. Okay, this is going to be a very trying time because you're talking about the mark of the beast. So many people are getting caught up into the mark of the beast, and I tell a lot of people, a lot of people keep on talking about we better get ready. I tell you, well, if you believe in Christ, we won't even be here, as the church will be out of the way long gone before the Antichrist implements the mark of the beast. And I think what's so funny about the things that are going on in the world that we're seeing, they're actually conditioning people's mind. And one day I may have to talk about this specifically, about how so many things in this world now, as far as the monetary system, the Bible says later on in Revelation, we get into where it says that without the mark, you will not be able to buy nor sell. Okay? You won't be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the beast. It's going to be a mark either in your forehead or in your hand, okay? Now, some people are talking about a chip. The problem with the chip is that a chip is not visible, okay? How will you make a chip that's in your forehead visible? If it's a little dot on your head, I don't see how that would represent the 666. Or if it's a chip that's actually implanted in your hand. Again, not saying that a chip won't play a role during these times, but I don't believe that a chip is going to be the mark of the beast. Now, the reason that I state that is because it has to be something that's visible on your forehead and on your hand. So if you think about markings at this day and time, what markings do people wear on their bodies that's visible? Tattoos. See? They have been prepping you coming right before the millennium, right before the doorway of 2000. They have been prepping people. We've seen tattoos becoming very popular to have in the late 90s, especially in the late 90s became popular. You would see people back in the day in the 80s, sometimes in the 70s, you see them with tattoos, but they were very minuscule, very small. You know, you see maybe a heart with an arrow going through it, or I don't know, maybe something very small, nothing big, nothing outlandish like you see now. At this day and time, people are so caught up into tattoos. I seen one person, not having any hair, just had the whole entire body tattooed, okay? And they had the head tattooed, the face. You see so many people that say that they got a sleeve tattoo. They got tattoos all on the arm, like a sleeve of a shirt. And what people don't really realize is that all the things that we deal with are preparing us for the 666 time period. You think about television. What's the fastest way to get the word out? The internet. Daniel talked about over in Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let me go there real quick because, I love to read scripture. I love to give you some scriptures over in Daniel, Daniel, the 12th chapter. Let's go there real quick. Give me one more. A little old school. I said I like to go through the Bible. So it takes me a little time. I don't use the device, which I probably should start using the device. It is a little bit faster, so. But Daniel, the 12th chapter, I believe this first part. I'm just going to quote it real quick. I may mess it up a little bit. But it says that man is going to go to and fro, meaning that travel will increase. And when we talk about traveling increase, you think about how man can travel across town. It used to be a time when man had to walk or we ride a horse, and then they went from horses to buggies and carriages. And now we have what? We have vehicles, we have cars, we have trains, we have buses, we have planes, many different ways to travel. Word, news and word travels faster. You know, we got radio, we got television now. And Daniel says, but thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We know within the last 200 years, science and the knowledge of man has increased in the past 200 plus years, probably between 200 and 300 years. Knowledge has really, really increased, especially the last 200 years, because it is believed that a lot of things that they've been hiding from us as far as electricity, they were actually able to do, but have been very silent about it. And so we see this has become a very popular thing at this day and time, how knowledge is so increased with devices. Thinking about how now no one hardly uses cash. The Bible says you will not be able to buy nor sell. So you won't be able to do any underlining buying or selling when the mark of the beast come around. Because why? You're going to have something that's on record that they know that you're what? Doing business, doing transactions. Look at the applications now. We got Zelle, Cash App, Venmo. You got all these different avenues to where you can do monetary transactions. And cash now is like a thing that's becoming a thing of the past. And so we see that when the mark of the beast come on, you know, there's so many things, and I'm trying not to reveal too much to you now until we get to those chapters. But dealing with the mark of the beast, man is already prepared. But when the Antichrist walk on the scene, he's just going to walk on the scene. And you'll be so shocked. And this is why we're waking up the church. We're trying to shake and wake up the church to wake up to what's going on in the world. Okay, the church is asleep. Trust me, the church is asleep. Because what is going on in the world, when the Antichrist comes, he's just going to be able to walk on the scene. It's not going to be a shock. People are accepting same-sex marriages like nothing. People are now accepting same-sex relationships in the churches. The so-called church, not the real true church, but these false churches, these false prophets are in the churches, and they're preaching, they're accepting these things, okay? So I had to say that because, again, I'm going to get into the 144,000 because I want to show you during this time period when the 144,000 comes on the scene, okay, we, the church, will be out of here. You won't have to worry about the mark of the beast. But the 144,000 are chosen to go forward and give the word. So let's go ahead and go to Revelation 7, chapter, verse 1. It says, "And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." So whatever harm or wrath that was going to come from the Most High, from the Messiah, these four angels was given the power and authority to what? Okay? Hold the winds, okay? Is that the wind should not blow on the earth, okay? This is amazing. I don't even have my notes with me, but I'll get to that in a minute. Verse 2 says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." Okay? And so you see this angel that's ascending, right? Having the seal of the living God. And we wonder what that seal is. And then I know that we talked about some of the earlier scriptures of the context and how the Most High is going to have a seal put in our foreheads of the believers. We see this numerous of times throughout the Bible, okay? So I'm going to cover these first three scriptures of first three scriptures, because what I'm going to do, I'm just going to read Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 4 through 8, because it covers pretty much this. It's pretty straightforward. It covers the 12 tribes of Israel that was chosen. And then I'm going to kind of, then we'll go ahead and start talking about the verses 9 through 17. Like I say, chapter 7 today is when I was studying. It's like, man, this is pretty simple, pretty straightforward. So we're just going to read verse 3 of Revelation, the 7th chapter. That says, "Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Okay? So, understand this, okay? The tribulation is a 7-year period, okay? Some people are saying out there, I'm hearing some stuff out there on the internet, where people are teaching and saying, tribulation is only really 3.5 years. And I was amazed to hear them. I'm like, wow, 3.5 years. Where are they getting the number from? I couldn't, you know, looking through my books and my notes, I could not understand where the number 3.5 years came from. It's not 3.5 years. The tribulation, make no mistake about it, is a 7-year period. We also know that in the Bible, we know that the number 7 means completeness. So the 7 years will be completed, okay, of Christ's judgment on those that don't believe, on the unbelievers, okay? So we know that whenever the 7-year kicks off is whenever they bring out the covenant, okay? That's when it kicks off. And so at some point, we believe either at that time or prior to that, that the church is going to be called home. We won't be here. Okay, I don't believe that we will be here during that 7-year period. At any point, the church is going to be called home and caught up to heaven. Some call it the rapture. If you want to say we're going to be raptured to heaven, we will not be here. Okay, that's going to be unfortunate for those who will eventually believe, but also fortunate because they do get to go to heaven to be with Christ and to live for all eternity. We talked about this last week. Or was it the week before? I think it was the week before, or basically the last couple weeks when we talked about Revelation, the 6th chapter, and we talked about those souls that were under the throne. Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 9, we talked about those souls that were slain, okay? And they were under the altar. John said he saw them. These were the souls that were slain during this period, Revelation 7, the 144,000, and those who chose not to believe, right? They chose not. Well, they chose to believe. I do apologize. They chose to believe. Okay, but before the tribulation, they didn't believe. Okay, you know, some people believe that. You know, most scholars believe that what's going to actually happen is those who actually enter into the Great Tribulation won't have an opportunity of salvation. I kind of saw that as well. I kind of thought that was a little strange because I'm like, well, if anyone entering into the Great Tribulation is not going to be saved, that means that who's the 144,000 going to save? But they have to save someone. They have to minister to someone. And so when they minister, they're going to convert some people who did not believe, okay? At least that's what I understand from reading and studying the Bible myself, okay? So before we get into the trials and the rest of the congregation of heaven, I'm just going to read Revelation 7 chapter verses 4 through 8, again, which is straightforward of the 12 tribes, and then we're going to come back and revisit those 12 tribes, okay? Because we know throughout the history of Israel, those names changed. Now, for the most part, most of the names of the 12 tribes stayed the same, but there were a few that was changed for certain purposes, okay? All right, so we're going to read Revelation, the 7th chapter, verse 4. Okay, it says, John said, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin was sealed 12,000. Amen. So the Most High is not through with Israel. Okay, and we know that Paul stated this also over in Romans. The 10th chapter, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God Yahweh is for Israel that it might be what? Saved." Amen. We are still praying that Israel might be saved. We want Israel to be saved. We want the Gentiles to be saved. We know that the age of the Gentiles is just about over with, okay? And so this age is almost over with. And then what's going to kick off next is what? The tribulation, okay, the 7-year period. Now, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, I happen to call it the Great Tribulation. That's what I call it. Now, just remember, tribulation is 7 years, but that last 3.5 years is the Great Tribulation. Why? Because that's when the Lamb's Day, he's going to pour out his wrath, okay? You're going to see the things that's going to come upon the earth. Judgment is going to come because of man's wickedness. Because of man's heart and not wanting to repent and come back to the Most High. And so this is why these things are going to happen. And it's amazing to me how people are going to harden their heart, okay? Very, very amazing. And so as the church is getting prepared for the return of Christ, okay, our mindset has to be that is our primary focus. Because there is so much distraction in the world when it comes to serving the Most High. And people are allowing so many different things to get in the way of serving the Most High. Instead of dedicating our time and our energy to the Most High and what he has for us as the church, people are being distracted by a lot of things are going on in the world. We see right now with this pandemic, you know, again, when you're looking to the left, something's actually going on the right. It's a distraction, okay? It's to get your attention off of what we should really be focusing on, okay? People are now out of work, okay? That becomes a distraction. It is a type of distraction if you don't have a job, okay? Not only that, we see people being distracted by the news media, okay? Police brutality, we see that going on. Okay, people, threats of race wars. There is so much going on in the world to distract you. And this is what it really is when it comes to when you really think about it, if you're not really focusing. Because, see, I think what's more funny, and when I mentioned that, is that Christ said, watch, okay? For he's going to come as what? A thief in the night. And so you're not watching if you're distracted. And it kind of reminds me of my kids when they were growing up, when they would try to do their homework, you know, and not intentionally, but I would turn on the TV while they were studying because I want to watch TV. And the kids would begin to watch TV and it's not studying. The mom would get on to them about not paying attention. And sometimes she'd even ask me to turn off TV because the kids are not paying attention. And so with that type of mindset, we have to remember, we have to make sure that we are focusing on what the Most High has told us. You know, watch, be prayerful. You know, don't get so distracted by things of this world, because this is how Lucifer does. He's a great deceiver. He's deceiving you. So I just have to think about that when I'm thinking about all this distraction that's going on. And Christ is telling you, hey, pay attention. Watch. Okay, I'm getting ready to return. And so many people are just so wrapped up into so many things. And the Holy Spirit is just telling me, Tim, don't worry about what's going on in the world. Keep your eye focused on me. We should be constantly looking for the return of Christ. That's where our mindset and our heart should be, not so much caught up into what man is doing here on the earth to, you know, the people talking about voting and certain. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that you should pay attention to or give some ear to a little bit. But don't let it come to the point to where that's your main focus, okay? We don't want that to happen, okay? So I want to make sure that I acknowledge that, because I want you all to be paying attention so that for we won't miss tomorrow, okay? All right, so back to Revelation, the 7th chapter. The first portion, I read the first, I believe it was first 9 scriptures of Revelation, the 7th chapter. Yes, first 8 scriptures, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 8. Now, verses 4 through 8, you saw how it talks about the 12 tribes, okay? And so God's angels administer God's plan, right? Okay? And so since there will be a great revival on earth after what? The church is gone. He's going to always have someone in place to do his work. Now, remember I told you last week, if you were listening, how some will say the Holy Spirit will be totally removed. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is going to be totally removed out of the world, because how would the 144,000 be able to operate? I don't believe that the Holy Spirit will be totally removed. I believe he's going to step back and allow Satan and the beast and the false prophet to do their thing. But I don't believe he'll be totally removed, okay? But you see in the first, by first 1 to 4 verses of Revelation 7 chapter, verses 1 through 4, how it's necessary for Yahweh's protection on the 144,000. He's going to protect them, okay? And so another way how he's going to protect them, I believe, is through the Holy Spirit. Again, this is why I said I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is going to be totally removed out of the way. And it's funny because I talked about this a little bit last night on how the Holy Spirit has the power to protect you and to keep you, okay? And so as they spread the message of salvation, what? These evangelists will be specially marked for protection. Why? Okay, so whatever what's going to happen, they won't be affected, right? But who's going to be affected? The people who are unbelievers that's going to have the other mark. Isn't that amazing how the people who are going to have the mark of the beast are going to have the 666 on their forehead, right? And another thing is that I remember when we was in school, they used to talk about the mark of the beast and how people would try to interpret and try to figure out who is the mark, who is the beast. They try, and they believe, because in the Greek, in the old alphabet, they used to use the letters, you know, kind of matched up with numbers. And people would try to match up with who is the mark, who's going to be the beast. And so people try to find out, what does that 666 mean? What does it translate to? Does it mean like an abbreviation for something? Does it mean a name? Some believe it's going to actually be a name of the false prophet, or probably the name of Satan, or probably the false prophet. We don't really know yet, but the Bible does say that it's a number of a man. And so that makes you wonder, okay, is this the name of the Antichrist going to be on people? That's going to be something. Man, it's going to be something. Man, I'm so glad we're not going to be here. And can you imagine having to walk around with that on just to buy and sell? It's got to be on your foot. And people are already prepared for it. People got tattoos all over them, but they're already ready for it. They're ready to accept the mark. That's what's crazy. They are ready to accept the mark. So as the unbelievers, they're not going to have any problems. Hey, hit me on the forehead with that tattoo. Hit me on the hand with that tattoo. Can you believe that? That's amazing. But you see here that the 144,000 evangelists, okay, they're going to be protected with a special mark in their forehead. So that's going to mean that they're going to stand out, right? Because if you got a mark that doesn't match their mark, you may stand out a little bit, okay? But they're going to be what? Preaching the gospel, okay? So you're talking about these visible seals on their forehead. Some believe that it will be only something that maybe it can be seen only by the believers, but I don't really believe that because we know that to be on the earth at that time, man, this is amazing. To be on the earth at that time, you have to have that mark that's visible. So if you don't have that mark, that's gonna be a question. Hey, why don't you have a mark? You know, it's kind of like when you work in corporate America. I've been working in corporate America for 20-something years, 20-plus years, and we always have to have a badge in every corporate building we're in. So it's kind of like if you walk around without a badge, it's like, who is this guy in the building without a badge on? So, like, you kind of stand out. And they always tell you got to have that badge where it's visible. Isn't this amazing how it's kind of lining up with the thing that was – how you got to have that badge on. Where your badge at, right? You got to have your badge on. It's got to be visible. Well, it's going to be the same thing with this mark. It's got to be visible. In your forehead or your hand, we got to be able to see it, or you may have to flash it and show it, you know, especially when a certain type of authority figures or whenever you pass by an authority figure, or maybe when you go in. It's like now in the store. I think about when I go in the store, you know, and now they're kind of cutting back a little light on because now people begin to say, oh, well, because of health reasons, I can't wear the mask. So now it's kind of lighting up a little bit and allowing people to walk into the store without a mask. But about a month or so ago, for the past couple of months, I know here in Texas where I'm at, they've been saying, hey, no, you got to have on that mask on. You cannot come in the store. And the first thing that came to my mind is like, wow, you know, imagine the mark of the beast. Hey, you cannot buy or sell or even go to work without this mark. And people's minds are already conditioned for it. So I thought about that. Amen. So let's move on just a little further. Okay. So let's take a look at the 144,000. The congregation a little bit closer. Let's go ahead and go over to Revelation 9 and 10. Let's look at Revelation 9 and 10. We're going to talk about the 144,000. So remember, when they were being sealed, that were they being sealed up? They were being sealed on the earth, right? And so now watch this, what's going to happen. You see the transition in Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8, it told you about the 144,000, how they were sealed, that whatever was going to take place, the wrath that was going to be taking place on the earth, would not harm them. It's not for them. As I told you, this thing, Revelation, is not to hurt us that believe. We're safe. We're saved. We're in a good place. We don't even have to worry about nothing. We are saved. We're good to go. We're not going to be affected by this mark of the beast. Ain't that beautiful? We're not going to be affected by Lucifer. We're not going to be, the wrath of the Lamb is not for us. He loves us. Amen. I'm so glad I'm on his side. It's not against us. It's against those who, what? Unbelievers, right? And you see in Revelation 7, chapter verses 1 through 8, you see this, how they are protected while they're on the earth doing their ministry. But now in verse 9, watch what John says. It says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. Now, another thing I want to point out is that he said all nations and all tongues. So it tells you just not was the Jewish nation. That's why I said in the beginning there are two audiences here for believers. There's the 144,000, the saints that witnessed, that were chosen, right? And then those that were saved with them, those who were converted, right, during this time period. And so now you see all the nations and kindreds and tongues of people right here in verse 9. So it lets you know there's going to be a variety of people going to be saved after that 144,000 ministry. That's beautiful. Verse 10 of Revelation 7 chapter says, and cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, Yahweh. which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Amen. They're giving all praises to the Godhead. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is right there in the midst. Amen. They're giving praises to the Godhead. Salvation, right, to our God. Why? They are praising and worship, just like remember in Revelation 5, when the saints, the church, we was praising it, right? Now those who came through the great tribulation that was martyred, remember we talked about the ones that were martyred over in Revelation 6 and 9, they were being martyred, how they're going to cry out, and they're going to be grateful and say, hey, we held on, we made it too. And we're going to be grateful for them, the angels, we're all going to be happy for them. They made it. They didn't accept the mark of the beast. Man, you don't want to accept that mark on your head. People think that stuff is cool. I've actually seen some people walking around with 666 on the body. I'm just like, what? These people are already prepared for the mark of the beast. So can you imagine for one with this? There are people got, and you go on the internet and Google that stuff, you see people with 666 tattoos on their bodies. And so you think they kind of say, no, you are prepared for it. But all we got to do now is just put it in the right place. We can put it on your forehead or in your hand. See, it has to be in those places because the Bible's prophesied. The Bible spoke it. The Bible says if you got the habit, one of those few places, right? Okay? Now, verse 11, it says, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Why did they worship God? Amen. Why the angels and the elders? Now, we know the 24 elders are. That's the church. That's us. We know the four beasts are. It said all the angels fell before the throne, their faces, worship Yahweh. Man, we're going to be so happy. This is it. All the believers, this is it in one place. So think about when you go to your church, you know, how y'all get together and praise and worship and serve the Lord. Well, it's going to be the same way in heaven, right? They'll come together and they're going to what? Praise, right? So the effect of this worldwide preaching by the 144,000, man, this is going to be something. Dedicated service of the Most High. Man, they're going to be courageous. Man, you got to be courageous to do that in the time of the tribulation, all the things that's going on. They're going to be cutting off people's heads. Man, they're going to be, you think we're getting it now. Man, you got to be courageous to go out and go around the world and say, you know, I'm going to travel over here and speak the word and you know, talk to people and save souls. Man, and can you imagine the people? See, the thing that people don't understand is Satan has no loyalty. He doesn't. Satan just cares about himself. So now you got these angels that have followed him from heaven. Now they're going to all be punished for all eternity. So what do you think is going to happen to those who walk around with 666 on the body that are unbelievers? They're going to be punished as well. How crazy is that? You're going to follow somebody. That's just like following a gang leader that's going to get you killed or put in prison. They don't have no loyalty. They don't care about you. They don't. Those guys who do all this gang banging and selling drugs, them folks don't care about one another. That's not worldly love. That's no love. Yeah, you'll get killed, murdered, and them folks are going about their business. It's the same thing here, you know, and there's going to be people who they're going to want out. There are so many people now that want out of these evil organizations, right? And this right is going to be a way for them to get out of it is war. It's through the 144 testimonies, right? Okay? So you're talking about hundreds of millions of believers at the gathering together when Christ come back or at the rapture, right? And this is gonna leave some type of impression on the world. You know, people are gonna see, you know, much of the people on social media now, people love to film stuff. It's gonna happen so fast, they're gonna be able to film it, they're gonna be able to catch it, unless they happen to catch us in the air. And that's gonna be amazing. Some people may feel like, you know what, I missed the mark. They're gonna wanna get saved, right? Okay? And they'll soon realize that, hey, you know what? You know, we kinda missed out on something. And this is your opportunity to receive salvation right now, okay? Because when you look at Revelation 9 and 10, you see obviously the transition from heaven to earth. Verses 9 and 10 is a transition, meaning that those who were martyred and killed are now in heaven. You see that transition, okay? So I just wanted to share that with you and show that to you, okay? Let's move on. Let's move on through the scriptures, okay? I got some scriptures here that I want to share with you. Okay, let's take a look at some scriptures here. Let's take a look at some scriptures for Revelation. Revelation 7, chapter verse 9. I'll go back there, and then I want to go to Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, the 11th chapter. I have to last sometime because I'll be trying to move as quickly as I can. Romans 11. Let me look at my notes. Romans 11th chapter, verse 25. And again, we're talking about Israel. This is Israel, the 144,000. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. I love the way Paul writes. He says, "Least ye be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentile." And right now, Israel's blind. They are. They're serving idol gods. They're blind right now. And so right now is the age of the Gentiles, okay? Right now, the Gentiles have been engrafted into the faith. They've been engrafted into salvation, okay? And I told you earlier about Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 1, where it talks about what Paul said, you know, his desire that Israel won't be lost. Okay, and now we see that Israel is being delivered, 12,000, okay, right? That doesn't mean that other people in Israel didn't get saved, but there was specific, each one of each tribe, 12,000 each tribe was chosen to do this work for Christ. This is amazing, okay? And so you have to really think about that. So let's go over to, let's look at Revelation 7 and 10. And based on that verse, I want to share this one little verse that we're going to go ahead and move on, get ready, get close to moving it out, and then we'll just kind of have a discussion about the book of Revelation, things that are going on in these end times, okay? So like I say, because Revelation, the 7th chapter, is pretty straightforward. It wasn't anything that was like that. There's a lot in it, don't get me wrong, but remember the ideas to give you, just kind of give you an oversight of the book of Revelation. And I will continue eschatology teachings after we finish the book of Revelation, in which we will dive a little bit more deeper into the scriptures, okay? But right now, I just want to just take you through the outline of the book of Revelation. So we talked about Revelation 17, where the congregation is crying out, salvation to our God. They are happy, man. Can you imagine being in a situation to where that's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure? You think about the people who are on death row who know that they're going to die through lethal injection. Or when people used to get the chair, they'd say there'd be so much stress on people. Well, it's kind of the same thing with the 144,000, the saints that become converted on the earth. The world hates us. And so the tremendous amount of pressure is going to be on them to know that, hey, they're going to their death. That's not an easy thing to take. You know, to know that you're about to die, that's a tremendous amount of stress. And knowing that you have the power to make a decision to say, hey, you know what? Am I going to hang in here and die and suffer this quick death and go to heaven for all eternity? Or am I going to, you know, just be pacified these last 3.5 years, which most of them won't even know. It's going to be, they think life is just going to go on for thousands and thousands. It's going to end in 3.5 years. They don't know it's going to end in 3.5. They can say, hey, you know, we're good. We got the mark. We get to continue to live. They think they're safe, but they're not. It's going to be so evil and so rough during these times, okay? So I want to call your attention to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Oh, look at that. I got there kind of quick. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. And I'm looking at verses 11 and 12, okay? It says, this is what it says. Says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, said the Lord, that I am God. Amen. There is no other God but him. He is the only God that can give salvation. And this is what I've been saying over the weeks, the past few months, in teaching on Revelation. There is no escape. This is your escape. People are looking for a way out to escape racism. You're not going to escape racism. As long as Lucifer is the ruler of this world, racism is going to continue. In fact, it's going to get worse. The closer we get to the end of time in the great tribulation, and definitely within the great tribulation, it's going to get worse. So you think about racism and police brutality, how bad it is now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in the great tribulation, and in the 7-year period, and you want to be here? You shouldn't want to be here. You think all the stuff that people are doing, raping people and kidnapping people, kidnapping kids, people being murdered and killed, this stuff is going to continue to go on as long as this is what Lucifer wants. He wants blood sacrifices. And this is what this stuff really is, that stuff that we're seeing out here. It's blood, it's sacrifices. That's exactly what it is. It's sacrifices. People are murdering, killing, and this is what's going on in the world. So it's not going to change. It's not going to stop. No matter how much you try to, you know, and I'm not trying to be funny. It doesn't matter how much you want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. It's not going to stop. That doesn't stop anything. Marching, that doesn't stop anything. The devil's laughing at this stuff. He knows it's not going to stop because why? He is in control of this world right now. He's the God of this world right now. And the people that are under him and serving him that he controls, he tells them what to do, and they're going to do it. That's just it. So it's not going to get better, okay? It's only going to get worse. Your only escape is to receive salvation. That is your escape. As you can see right here, there are 144,000, those that got saved, their escape was what? Salvation. That is it. Yes, they died, but it's only temporary because Christ is going to raise them from the dead. He's going to bring them back. They're going to be in heaven. And we're going to live for 1,000 years on the earth with Christ. And then we're going to live for all eternity. That is your escape. From racism, from police brutality, from people being that hate you, people who are into the same sex relationships that say they want to do what they want, they don't care what you think in your religion. People hate us, they hate our religion. This world is just evil and corrupt. That's just all it is to it. It's not going to stop. We wanted to, I thought about it for years and years, trust me. Since I've been saved, I've been thinking about how can we escape it? How can we escape? Maybe if people would come together, maybe we thought of these things. We've tried these things. And you know what the Holy Spirit told me many years ago, over 10, 15 years ago? It's not going to stop. As long as Lucifer is the ruler of this world, the evil things that are behind the curtains, the people who are calling the shots, it's going to continue until Christ throws Lucifer in that bottomless pit for 1,000 years to the end of time. It's going to continue. And until the Bible even says it best, the beast, the false prophet, and Lucifer, until they all and all those who are unbelievers are thrown in the lake of fire, then it's going to stop. It's done. It really is done before then because once the devil is thrown, once at the end of the 1,000-year period, once we rule here on 1,000 years, then eternity begins. That's it. That's it. They can harm us no more. When we're in heaven, they can harm us no more. When we're caught, we can be harmed no more. Okay? So I have to share that with you, okay? All right. Amen. So let's move forward. Let's read Revelation 7. Let's start verse 12 through 17. Let's get ready to finish it out. The hour is closing in on us. Verse 12 says, saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. You see the congregation is what? Praising and worshiping him, just giving the Most High. That's why we praise him, because we know he's going to save us from this life. We know that the hurt and pain and tribulation that we go through now is temporary. We're going to be saved out of here. We don't have to deal with this stuff anymore. It says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Amen. He's talking to John. Now, remember, this it kind of sounds similar, to some of the scriptures over and further on Revelation. You'll see it's referring to the same group. It's the 144,000 and those who were unbelievers that became believers in the Great Tribulation. Okay? That's who he's talking about. It says, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence did they came? Whence came they? He asked them. So basically what? We know. He's going to tell us in verse 14. And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. John said, I don't know. He said, but you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. This is why I call the second half And you can notice I always interpret scripture with scripture. This is why we know that the tribulation is a 7-year period, but I call the latter part, the 3.5 years, the great tribulation. Why? Because the Lamb is going to be wounded. He's going to come back alive. The world's going to go nuts. They're going to think he's the best thing since sliced bread. They're going to think he's awesome because he comes back alive. Man, he's going to flip on them, and it's going to be worse. People think they're going to love this man. It's going to be worse, evil on top of evil. And then Christ is going to pour out his wrath on the earth, which is why it's called the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years is actually the Great Tribulation. The entire 7-year period is the tribulation, but the latter half is going to be much, much worse. It's going to multiply even more. Okay? And this is what he said. These are they which came out of the what? Great Tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How do you wash your robe? Romans 10:9-10. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. It ain't said you got to actually go somewhere and wash your robe in the river or wash it in the tub or put it in the washing machine. It ain't something that you got to do like you do your clothes. All you got to do is just believe and have faith and you are saved. See, Christ died on the cross. He took away the sin of the world, not you. You don't have the power to. We're too weak to. We don't have the power to. We don't have the knowledge nor the power to do it. Not us. The Lamb that was slain, Christ did it. He went to the tree, okay? They called a cross. We know he was actually hung on a tree, okay? So he's the one that went to the cross for us. He died for our sins. He did the hard work. Now all you got to do is the easy work. All you got to do is just simply believe. See, the devil don't want you to know that. All you got to do is just believe, okay? Now watch what it says in verse 15, okay? Now I'm going to come back to Revelation 14. It says, therefore are they before the throne of God. Amen. All glory to the Most High. Now we're all in heaven before the glory of God. Now they're all what? And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Amen. We know the tribulation is going to be tough. Neither thirst anymore. Amen. This is both spiritual. I believe spiritual and natural, right? It said, and neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Heaven's going to be nice and comfortable and warm. Okay, amen. We don't have to worry about, but it's going to be comfortable. It's going to be nice. Because why? We know that he is light. His love is warm. Amen. Amen. I love being warm. I don't know what you got. I like being warm. Amen. I like being hot. But I love the warm weather. Amen. So I'm going to love and really enjoy heaven, right? It's going to be nice. It's going to be comfortable. I'm quite sure it's going to be nice, comfortable. And whatever the temperature is, I believe it's going to be nice and comfortable. But verse 17 says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Who is the Lamb? Christ, Yeshua, our Savior. And shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Man, I can't imagine, man. Can you imagine the crying? Because you're going to be so happy. I mean, you talk to people every day. You hear about the things that people are going through. I remember about a month ago, I talked to this lady. She spent her last day. They were buying guns. Do you hear me? Buying guns because people down where she lived had no money. Like I tell you, where there's no money in jobs, you begin to see civil unrest. They better hurry up with these stimulus checks they're talking about again because you begin to see civil unrest. It's unbelievable. We think this is something. This is nothing compared to what's coming. People are going to be just, it's going to be nothing. People will rise up, nation will rise up against nation. Neighbors are going to hate one another. People are going to be up against each other in arms. Why? Lack of jobs, lack of food. This is why. The world's going to be cutting up during this time. Amen. So a lot could be said, amen, about the scriptures. Let me go over to St. John. I got a few more minutes. Let's go over to St. John, the book of St. John, the 10th chapter. We're going to shut it down. Like I said, the night was a pretty light night. It wasn't no need for me to drag it on an additional 30 minutes. I could have, but I said, you know what? There's no need to for this book. It's pretty straightforward, okay? So St. John, the 10th chapter, verse 11, verse 14 and 15. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Amen. That's what Christ has done for us. We don't have to do the work. He gave his life for us, right? Didn't I just say that? We don't have to do the hard part. He made the ultimate sacrifice. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, and so even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Amen. I thank him so much. That's why they were crying. That's why you're going to be crying. Because you're going to realize, man, you did this. You love me so much. Man, that's so powerful. You love me so much that you gave your life. You didn't have to. See, it's different from me or you giving your life or a kidney or a lung, whatever. I don't know if you can get a lung, maybe, but a kidney or whatever for a loved one. You know, it's different you laying down your life for your loved one. And you say, well, how did it get? It is, but watch this. The difference is that he didn't have to. Now, we know that you didn't have to, but see, the difference is that he has the power to resurrect you and bring you back to life. See, I don't. See, if I lay down my life for somebody, or they lay down their life for me, we don't have the power to bring somebody back. The person that died is gone. That's it. But see, he has the power over death and hell to resurrect the dead. Amen. Let's see if I can get another scripture in real quick. Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 6. I haven't written that. I take so many notes and so many scriptures. So let's see what it says. And it says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua, the Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Amen. So we're talking about what? Mystery Babylon, okay? And what they're going to do, when they're going to murder the saints. But they're going to pay for that. Amen. That concludes the study tonight. Amen. That they're going to pay for that. Don't think that all the thing that these people run around doing is evil. I got a report tonight about some of these organizations in the world that they put up a facade like they stand for good, but they're really not. Hey, if nobody is teaching Christ and standing up for Yeshua and Yahweh and teaching you about being saved and going to heaven and eternal life, run. I've been saying this for 20 years. I'm saying it now. I've been saying this since I've been on the air. Run. Get away from these organizations that they are facade for evil. They are front. Lucifer is good at lying to people. He's good on disguising himself as something good. You know, he's evil, okay? So with that being said, Fiction the Great has shut it down. And I just want to announce to you that I will be back on the earth tomorrow night on my blog talk station. It's under Reign in Love Ministries on the blog talk. I do apologize for last week I was on, but I had the times all messed up. I will be on the air tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time, 7 o'clock East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast. I decided to do the time earlier instead of 8 o'clock because I realized that, wait a minute, it's school season. People got to get the kids in the bed. People got to go to work Monday morning, so I didn't want to hold too early. I want you to get the word in for an hour. Sunday night Bible study. It was awesome. I love teaching about the book of St. John. If you heard it last night, I'm grateful for those who did listen. Please chime in. The number is 319-527-6076. Again, the number is 319-527-6076. Once again, 319-527-6076. I will be back on the air tomorrow night teaching a regular Bible study. We're studying the book of St. John. This is for the new saints and really for anyone who wants to learn and teach, learn more about Christ and salvation and how salvation works and what it means to us and why Christ died for our sins. So with that being said, family, hope you'll tune in tomorrow night. I love you. We'll be back on next week, same place, 6 p.m. Central Time, in regards to Revelation, the 8th chapter. Family, remember, you are royalty. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. You are blessed. I am blessed by the Most High. Remember, you are royalty. I am royalty. Family, until next time, stay blessed and bless the kingdom, family. You all have a good night. I love you all.